Blog Talk Radio.
WATB Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go, bride! Our soon coming King awaits. All right, Bride, Mega Revival, Making America Godly Again, is hosting a 2017 National Christian March on September 9th. That's right, it is time, Bride, for us to stand up and declare that this is a Christian nation. We are taking our country back from the enemy. We are marching across this land, blowing the shofars, sounding the alarm. The clarion call has been released from heaven, and the bride is coming out. Come on, bride, put your boots on. Let's go. Find out more at www.megarevival.com. Come on, bride, it's time to march for Jesus. Let's prepare for war. Good afternoon, bride. Good afternoon, America. This is your host, Dr. June Knight, coming to you from Houston, Texas today. Yay! Listen, bride, check out more at megarevival.com. That's Making America Godly Again. Also, for the 50 Days Ablaze that we just come out of this summer, where prophets across America partnered together to pray for our country. You can check that out on watbradio.com. Now, sister, please mute your phone. I can hear. Lord, I pray that all of y'all that want to check out how we're praying for these states, check that out at WATB Radio. Also, we're on Facebook and Twitter at WATB Radio. Listen, bride, we are so honored today to highlight another lady, a very anointed lady in Dallas, Texas. Please give it up for Miss Katrina Loco. How you doing, Miss Katrina?
I am doing wonderful. How are you?
I am so honored to partner with someone that has taken the media mountain. We cannot have enough people taking this mountain for the gospel. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We need all hands on deck.
Oh, that's a great way to put it. Now, Brad, I'm going to read you a little bit of her bio so that you can understand who we're talking to. And I just want to say welcome to all of you other nations that listen to this broadcast. 25% of our listening audience is overseas. We want to thank you for listening to what's going on in our country and for praying with us. Katrina Loco, her ministry is Women of Abundant Wealth in Dallas, Texas. As magazine editor and talk show host of Women of Abundant Wealth, Katrina Loco uses her media platforms as a mission to inspire people to live positive and healthy lives without negative stereotypes and labels. For 20-plus years, her business and life coaching operation expands to challenge individuals to live more abundantly in every area of their life. Growing up with serious learning disabilities,
Katrina realized at an early age that her uniqueness would be used to help other individuals rip off the labels placed on them by others. In 1988, after leaving an abusive relationship and becoming a single mom of welfare, Katrina knew she had to use every gift and talent she had to break free from society's labels of what her life should look like considering her background. In 2004, she was voted one of the faces of success through the Tennessee Small Business. Tennessee Small Business Development Center, and also a featured guest on Women on Weekdays, 1400 AM WJZM with host Diane Welker. Her involvement with several nonprofits and various business associations has groomed her leadership skills, and her life experiences have given her the knowledge and wisdom to mentor others. She has many accomplishments, such as being a talent scout, playwright, drama coach for Multibella Fresh Face Model and Talent Studio in Clarksville, Tennessee, single women's pastor and drama director for God's Place in Clarksville, Tennessee, advocate for singles families through the Department of Human Services in Clarksville, founder of Interactive Entrepreneur Council, Clarksville, Tennessee, co-founder Club of Champions for Inner City Youth in Clarksville, Tennessee, and founder of Diamonds 300, a program for young ladies 7 to 21 years old in Dallas, Texas. Her determination and passion for others is what drives her to continue to spread the global message of being bold and unique by flipping of labels placed on you by others and reestablishing the destinies that have been redirected. Wow, sister, that is amazing. Now, let me ask you this, Miss Katrina. For you to be at the point that you're at in Dallas, Texas now, to where you're helping host all these events, you have a production company now, a medium production company. Let's talk about the woman, Katrina. Now, where was Katrina born?
I was born in a little bitty old small town called Erin, Tennessee. It is an extremely small town. Is she really?
Yes, with my grandson and her husband, yes. So was you born in a small family, a big family? Was they Christian or what?
Oh, a big, huge family. We surpassed big. My grandfather had like 17 children, and that's just on my father's side. And so I come from an extremely large family, very, very, very large family, and a very Christian family. I've never remember a time not knowing or understanding about Jesus because it was always there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. You talk about in your bio that, well, first I want to say this before we go into that. Look, I want y'all to look at what's happening right here, Bride. This is a woman that was born in a very small town and in a very big family. And look where she's at now, Dallas, Texas, taking the media mountain. What God can do with someone when they surrender. Now, sister, let me ask you this. When you said you was growing up, you had learning disabilities. How old was you when you had the diagnosis of that?
Probably about 4 or 5 years old from what my mom told me. But I remember a lot of it because I remember what people were saying. So, I had a very serious eye condition at the time, and then I had a hearing problem. So they attributed it back in those days because, you know, things went undiagnosed or whatever, that I just had a learning disability. They really actually told my mother that I was mentally retarded, but she didn't believe all that. And so once I got my eyes tested and my ears, you know, checked out, they realized that that was the problem. But I had missed all that time from not being able to see correctly or hear. So it took me a long time to catch up with, you know, simple things in school.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So it was about 4 or 5 that I remember.
So what happened over the years? Did that hold you back from learning in the natural or what?
Actually, what had happened is it beat me down because I kept hearing that she'll never learn. She'll probably only be good for this, 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 and that. And even if she catch up, she'll still be behind the curve. She'll still be this. And, you know, just a lot of word curses spoken over my life before I even had a chance to fly. And so I begin acting out those things, I guess around 9, just being disruptive and very mean and hateful and bitter because I was angry, you know, feeling abandoned and rejected. And then, you know, I believe that people made my mom feel guilty about the type of child she had. I mean, because you being disruptive and then you had all these learning disabilities. Well, what kind of child did you have? And people, society do make parents feel bad about the type of children they have. They really do. And so just knowing that and just feeling a part, not a part, but like thereof, of everything, because I really did not have that closeness. And I had a friend, Faye, who I was very close to and who we still are to this day, but she never even really noticed the learning disabilities. And when people would talk, she never really bought into all that stuff that they were saying. So I did have that as a security, a friend as a security. But other than that, it really damaged my life until I came into my own relationship with Jesus Christ. And now I tell teachers and I tell adults, watch what you say around children, and children feel what you're feeling about them. And it's not good if they feel that way, because you're setting their destiny on a path of destruction. And I just, my heart goes out to the ones that don't know Jesus and this has taken place. Because I know for me, if I did not have my, I don't know where I would be. I just don't know where I would be.
Right, I understand. And how God turned that around is what I'm so amazed about. And now you are using the education that you learned as a child, like the School of Hard Knocks, and using that to help society. And where God has placed you is like a strategic location. Let's talk about your ministry. Okay, now, when you was in Clarksville, Tennessee, we heard that all the things you did in Clarksville. Tell us how you knew when you was called and what God did.
I had known that I was called since I was little, but I didn't know what that looked like. I just didn't understand it. I got older, walked away from the church because of things that you see in the church, things that just are not right. So I just walked away and did my own thing. But I never will forget, and I was going down a very, very, very crazy path, and I never will forget being drunk. I'm very real and open, so if your listeners don't like that, they may complain. But being drunk on my bathroom floor after being out all night at the club, partying, and the stuff that I used to like to do, I remember having an experience and God really talking to me about cleaning up my life. And I was in my late 20s then. I was in my late 20s then when this happened. And I didn't quite understand it. And I knew that he was calling me for something greater, because I still believed. I just was still doubting at the same time, because I believed because that's what I was told that I was supposed to believe. And my relationship with him had not been even put together, because I was living off of my grandmother, my mother, you know, people that have told me.
Yeah.
And I remember getting off that ground, getting up off the floor, going to bed that night, and almost being choked to death. And so I woke up, and then at that point I realized there was something that I had to do. there was something very important that only I could do, and I started searching for that. Now, when I started searching for that, it was like everything in my life changed at that moment, the way I thought and the things that were going on around me, the people that were going on around me. It was like friends were in, you know, the area I was living in, Clarksville, and it's a military town, so a lot of my friends were getting stationed somewhere else, so I really didn't have anybody to go out and party with anymore. And I just started seeking. And then one day, a friend of mine invited me to his church, him and his wife did, and I went, and I was listening to what the pastor was saying. And, you know, it was just tailor-made for me. It was like me and him was in that room, and I began to understand my prophetic giftings at that time and everything that I had been going through that nobody was really able to explain to me at that one service. And I left there, remember thinking, I'm coming back because I need to know who I am. And so as God and I started my journey, he began to reveal into me who he was, what he expects, his standards, his way, and I just started getting in the Word. I mean, I was constantly in the Word, studying the Word, seeking, praying, and just asking God to really just show me the truth. I was seeking truth.
Yes, yes.
And he bought it home for me, and me and a friend of mine, Peggy, was driving, and she looked at me, and I looked at her, and I had fallen asleep. And I know I was under the wheel for about, had to be about 25 minutes. And she woke me up. She's like, oh, my God, you've been asleep for a long time, haven't you? Because she had fallen asleep. And so God had gave us this word, and he was like, you guys are God seekers. And we was like, is there anybody out there like us? We asked that question, and in less than a week, I had met Pastor Melanie. And I remember calling Piggy. I was like, oh, yeah, there's somebody out there like us. And that began my journey of discovering who he was so that I could know who I was in him.
Yes.
Well, so how did that end up bringing you to Dallas?
How did that end up bringing me to Dallas? I stayed with that ministry. that ministry for many years, and I remember one service she was asking, and I was already feeling restless because I had a business there. There was nothing wrong that I would have had to move. My children was graduating from high school, and I remember just being restless and telling a friend of mine, Diana, that, you know, I'm not happy. I'm not, there's just something missing. There's just more. I know that there's more. And she was like, but there's nothing wrong. I was like, but inside me there is. And so I remember sitting in service, and Pastor Melanie was preaching this word about ask God about this season that you're in, where you're supposed to be, who you're supposed to be serving with, where you're supposed to even live, what car you're supposed to even drive. It was just a lot of stuff that was so intimate and so detailed. And I remember him giving me this dream. And in this dream, I woke up and I went to my front door, and there was a big flashing sign over my front door that said exit. And so I'm like, wow, I'm supposed to exit. Well, I'm thinking just the house. And so I was preparing for that. And then one day in my quiet time and meditation time, he was telling me about all these hopes and dreams, because I've been in love with media since I was 10. And I was actually doing media and stuff there on a smaller scale. And he was telling me that what I was doing and the plans I were making was not for that area. Once again, I was thinking, well, maybe I'm to pass it off to somebody. And then I had another dream about leaving. And so then it just hit me, I'm supposed to leave the area. This is not for this area. And in 2008, February 2008, I finally got it. And a friend of mine, Bobby, was like, well, come to Atlanta. So I was actually going to move to Atlanta. And she called me at the last minute. She was like, nope, I'm moving to Dallas. And I was like, oh, okay. And she's like, but you can come here. So in September 2008, she came and got me. I had to give stuff away. I just went with what I could put in her car. 2008, I got September 2008, I got here in Dallas and just really began to start the journey to ministry. I was having Bible studies on the trains and the bus because I couldn't bring my car with me. It needed work. And so I was meeting people, and we were doing Bible study on the trains and bus. And all I did was just take my Bible on the train or the bus, and I was reading, you know, just reading it for myself. And then people started asking questions and joining in, and the calling got clearer and clearer. Then we started praying. Then we started meeting outside of the bus and trains, and just got clearer and clearer. And I was like, whoa, God, this is huge. And so hence why I am here in Dallas for ministry and to help people be set free, because I was so in bondage to a lot of things, to a lot of other people's thoughts, to a system, to everything. And it felt like hell trying to break free of all that stuff. And when I'm out around people, I feel that on other people. And I'm like, no, this will not happen. They will live a life that God has for them, and they will break off all the stereotypes and all the labels and all the word curses, everything that's been placed on them, and they will begin to live the life that He called them to live. And so that is what I do. I help people break free from all that stuff, discover who He is so they'll know who they are. And He'll do the rest. He'll do the rest. And I'm just excited about new ventures that He's showing and connecting us even. I'm just excited about that.
I'm so excited about that because I see us doing things together because we have the same heart, and that's what God's doing in this hour. He's partnering vision together for bigger pictures, you know. So I'm really excited about it. And listen, I honor you. I tell people, you know, look, we don't know how much longer we have left on social media. Take that mountain, people, please. Right now, they're already censoring us. Twitter is censoring us. Facebook is censoring us. I posted a tweet one day, and I was talking about the prayer team praying over the homosexual agenda, and it would not let me even post it.
Wow.
Come on, preachers. While this is free, take it.
Yes.
Don't be scared of it. You can reach thousands of people you otherwise would never get to talk to.
Yes.
So, yes, sister, I'm really excited about that. Now, let me move on to Dallas. Now, so you've been there for several years. What is going on in the spirit there? Like, is there revival breaking out? Is there a lot of controversy breaking out? What's going on there?
It's a mixture of both, but I see more of the revival. I see people on a daily basis, and I just spoke with someone about this. I see people on a daily basis coming into the truth, realizing that there's something wrong, that there's more to this, that they've just lived a mediocre life, and they're wanting more, and they're seeking people. And you know the scripture that talks about, you know, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I'm seeing few laborers, because there are people out there. I run into them every day that want the truth. And the thing is, I'm not going up to them asking them, well, do you know Jesus? Do you want Jesus? It's like they come to me and say, you know, how are you doing today? For some reason, there's a conversation that struck up, and then there's an open door. God always gives the open door. And I was just telling the friend that I was talking to about this. I said, I have never seen it to where this many people are crying out, literally crying out, and they don't know who or what they're crying out to, what they're supposed to. They've been confused, and they're heartbroken, but they know that they cannot continue to live life the way that they've been living it. And I'm running into those people, praying with those people. My daughter just ran into a Muslim lady in Walmart. Well, she doesn't know her, but the lady had a breakout in the middle of Walmart and started. First, my daughter was like, I thought she, you know, was speaking in her language. She said, but then I realized, no, she's speaking in tongues. She's speaking in tongues, and she just burst it out. Jesus is really Lord. He's really Lord. He's real. He's coming back. And, you know, they put her out of Walmart. They put her out of Walmart. And so we're seeing the revivals on levels like that. And that's a huge level for that to happen for her. That is a huge level. And we're seeing them in, you know, just different places, sporadic places, not in one certain region, but they're just happening all over. Now, imagine if all the people that are in revival get together and truly press into God and truly have an understanding of what his mind is towards all this. Think about the impact that we would make. We do not have time to be separated on the wall. We don't have time for gossip, hearsay, this church, that church, my church. We need to build this kingdom, like you said, while we have time. And there is a huge open door. And the harvest is out there. If we would get unlazy, unstuck, and go out into the world and stop being scared of the world and allow what we have on the inside of us to roll over to the world, we'll see some things happen.
That's
we'll
the
see
truth.
Some things happen.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Preach it, sister. So you're saying in Dallas that there is like a revival going on there?
Yes, and it has been for some time, and it's just getting larger and larger. I wake up every day waiting for the moment where it's so massive that all you can do is just get out of bed, lay on your face, and go and talk to people and disciple people. Because it's going to be like that. It's going to be like that.
Yes, now let me shift over to... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying, and it starts with us.
It does. It's an individual choice. Now, sister, let me ask you, going to America, now, what do you think God is doing in our country today?
I think he's trying to wake us up. Well, I don't think. I know. He's trying to wake us up because... And when I mean us, I mean the church, because we've been so church-focused about getting people to church, having them come and join our programs, all this stuff, that we've left behind a world full of hurting people. Hurting people. And he's trying to get us, he's got our attention, and he's telling us, see, I'm trying to give you a new way of doing things. I'm doing stuff new because I'm about community and family and all these people. When you're just thinking about your little church on the corner, I'm thinking about all these people that are out here dying every day. And so he's waking us up. He's causing us to stand up and see truth, see how crooked things have been done, see how wrong the injustice and all that stuff. Now people are seeing all this stuff on so many levels. And it was like, well, what happened? When did all this happen? Well, it happened while you were asleep. The injustice have been there. The crookedness, the lies, the deceit, all that stuff has been there. You just been asleep. And so he's waking us up. People are crying.
Yes, Lord.
He's waking us up. He doesn't want revival just in the church. He wants it to roll over into our nation because it says disciple nations, disciple nations. And, you know, he wants us in these political arenas, taking the political mountains, taking all the mountain of education and finance and all that stuff. He wants us there so we can show people how it's really done. And I say this all the time. We are that book that we have, that we've been instructed out of, that we've been learning and times in prayers. We are the solution to every single problem on this planet. We have to understand that. When people are asking, well, there's got to be a solution. Yes, we are the solution. The body of Christ is the solution. We just have to use it the way he tells us to use it. We have the solution to Washington, D.C.'s problem. We have the solution to small town, big town problems. We are the solution. He's gave us an instruction manual with those solutions in it.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. I thought I lost you for a moment there.
Well, I'm sorry. I accidentally hit the mute button. But, yes, what you're saying about America is absolutely the truth. We need the church to wake up. And, you know, what you're saying, I'm really thankful to the Lord that you're speaking the truth, because I've never met you. Like, I haven't talked to you, you know what I mean? We haven't collaborated or anything like that. And all you're doing is confirming what we've been talking about on here, is that the churches have been basically in error, you know, a lot of them, where they pull people in and they them serve our ministry. Don't worry about what God's called you to do, which, I mean, which is fine. There is a time for serving. But if we're sitting in these churches 40 and 50 years, and we never discover that God wanted us to take a mountain, you see what I mean? These people are just, they're laying there dormant, you know, and the church is going to be judged on it very soon. Well, thank you so much for that. Now, when you talk to people, when you talk to society, whether they're Christian or not, and they are battling, like, because I'm going to pull off your mentorship a minute, if that's okay.
That's fine.
Okay. And they're coming to you and they're like, sister, I really, because I have people ask me this, so I would love to hear your answer. How do I know what I'm called to do? Can you help me with that?
Yes.
What would you say to them?
And I tell them, I said, well, let's sit down and take a look at your life. And look at the thing that you have battled, absolutely battled the most. I mean, like, you've been fought tooth and nails on it. It, no matter what you do with this thing, it just always seems to blow up in your face. And they look at me like, well, then is that what I'm called? I said, you don't understand. The thing that you battled the most is the thing that is trying to stop you from doing that thing. That's why it's been tainted. That's why it's been contaminated. Because if the enemy can get calling what you really call to contaminated, distorted, disillusioned, it won't be able to perform.
Yeah.
Because I look at my life, and God had to show me a pattern. Look at all these things that have happened in your life. Now, look at what you're called to. That's your message.
Yes.
That's your message, and it's going to set people free. So it's the thing that has held you back, and I know it might sound funny to people saying, well, it holds me back, but it's the thing that has held you back. It's the thing that you had battled, but it's also the thing that you wake up night and day crying over, and when you see it in other people, you either despise it or you want them free from it. That's how you know you're called to that area. That he's that mountain that he's called you to.
Yes.
Because you're fought with it all the time.
Yes. That is so true, because whatever is making you so angry, it's because you have the solution in yourself.
Yes.
See what I mean? Like,
and you can't get away from it.
Exactly.
Yes, it follows you.
Yes, once you get that identified, let's say I have an apostolic anointing and the way that churches are really bother me. Okay, what would you tell them on how to go about walking in that destiny?
Well, I tell them, I said, now that you know what you're supposed to be doing, you need to know the person who gave you the assignment. Because if you don't know what you're called to do, you're still having problems with understanding the person that gave you the assignment. So it's time for you to seek God and ask him, how are you wanting this done? Because I've been there, done that. If you go to the church and tell them I got a gift or a calling, they'll tell you, well, we want to see how it can be used around here. That's fine and dandy. But no, God wants this for the kingdom. Maybe he wants it for the church 3,000 miles away. You know, it's for the kingdom. So I told him, first seek the person who gave you the gift and the calling. You have to seek him, because you can't go out here and do it on your own. Too many people have been running around trying to do it on their own, and they've caused destruction in their life and other people's life. So you have to seek the gift giver. You have to ask him, what's the language of this gift? How do you want me to present it? Who am I to present it to?
Yes,
all
Lord.
That stuff will come, and you just simply do that by spending time with him, getting to know him, and he'll tell you this stuff. And after you know all that, he'll give you the steps to put it together, and then he'll bring the mentors, the people, whatever's needed for that, he brings them right to you. You don't have to go looking for them. He'll bring them right to you. You don't have to publicize what gift you have, what calling you have, because he'll have people to declare that over you without you even saying a word. You don't have to tell people, I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian. They're going to know you by your fruit.
Yeah.
And they're going to desire that fruit, and they're going to ask you, how can I get what you got? And you're going to say, I'm glad you asked. Because there
right.
is a man, you know, that provided a way for me. And so
yeah.
once they know who he is and who they are, then he'll give them the directions to step out on, and there'll be no questions about it. And our calling does break chains off of people. It does not stagnate, send them back to oblivious and make them feel, you know, like that they're nothing. It should break chains off of them where they're empowered and feel like now it's time for me to walk out what I'm called to do. We're touching people's lives so that we can awaken them to do their part.
Yes. I'm telling you, sister, that is powerful, because do you feel that the church in America is asleep? Like, what do you see about it?
I told you that I would just be I'm very open. Yes, the church is asleep because they're busy trying to build their programs. Well, maybe if we get another program, we'll draw the loss. Well, maybe if we decorate our church or build bigger churches and do this and add the glitz, the glamour, and maybe if we make it look pretty, they'll come in. Maybe No. How about blowing the whole thing up and you going out and getting them? You know, and no, I'm not sitting here on national radio saying we're going to go blow up churches. I'm just saying. But that's not important. God could care less, and when I say this, people kind of get upset. God could care less about the building and the decorations in and outside that building. What he wants is people. He loves people. He loves community. He wants us to love. He could care less about your program, and there's nothing absolutely wrong, and I repeat, with having a program. There's not. There's not. But his desire is that your program draw his people to him.
Yes, Lord.
And if it's not doing that, then it's not him.
Yes.
If it's running people away, it's not him. And we put this defense up like, oh, well, they're not coming because they don't want their sin exposed. No, they're not coming because they've already seen your sin exposed.
They're seeing what exposed?
They're seeing the church sin exposed. That's why they're not coming. Because the church would say they're not coming because they, the person themselves, do not want their sin exposed. And I beg to differ just by listening to people out in the street. No, they've already seen your sin exposed, so they're like, if you can't live it, then why force it on me? And you're not even trying to. So they need to see something real. They need to see people truly walking in the anointing of the Holy Ghost and people who are really living for Jesus and declaring him as Lord and Savior over their lives for real. That's what they need to see.
Yes. That is some good preaching, sister. Now, tell the listening audience how they can find out more about you and your ministry, and then we're going to let you release if you have a word.
Okay. They can go to my website, and actually we're revising some things, but it's still up there. It's KatrinaLoco.com. They can send me a message through my website and just find out more in the Dallas area, because I'm wanting to connect. I'm a kingdom connector, so I connect people. And I would love to connect with some serious people who are serious about taking the land, you know, and the mountains and all this. I really want to connect with people who are doing that, who's ready. And if they've been stuck and thinking, well, how can I do this? And God, where are the people at? Well, today is your day. He's connecting you with people right now that can help you do that.
Yeah.
And so they can find me at my
at my website, and then my phone number is 214-253-1696. You can call, leave me a message, because sometimes I don't pick up if I'm busy. You can leave me a message and, you know, let me know that you heard the radio show and what you want, and trust me, I will call you back.
Yeah.
I will call you back. So that
now,
is how they can get a hold of me.
Yeah, they can find you on Facebook. You have a Facebook page.
Yes, they can find me, Katrina Loco. They can find me on Facebook. They can, you know, Google it, and they'll see, you know, who I am and what I represent and how God is using me. So they can find me on social media as well. Yes, ma'am.
Now, do you
have a
word to give, or would you rather just go into prayer?
I absolutely do have a word for those people who are feeling stuck and like there is more to life than where they're at.
Well, let it go.
There really is.
Let it go.
Yes. There really is more for you out there. But God is waiting on you to step out and seek it. You cannot hang on to the old way of doing things. You cannot hold on to the pew. You cannot hold on to other people. You've got to step up to the plate and allow the Holy Spirit to activate those gifts on the inside of you so he can instruct you on where and what to do. That's why you're feeling stuck. That's why you feel like nothing is going right in your life. It's not because you're being punished or attacked. It's because you're trying to live on a plane that you've already surpassed. He's taken you to a whole other level, but you are trying to live on a level that he's done moved you away from. So it's time to come up a level and allow him to teach and train you everything that you need to fulfill your destiny, and not just for you, but for those that are waiting on you. Now, if you wake up at night and the same thing keeps calling you over and over again and you keep crying over things, well, hey, that's what you need to understand, that that is your calling. And just really press in and seek him for that. And don't be afraid of man. Don't be afraid of doing it the way that somebody else do it. He may not use you the way he used everybody else. Everybody's used differently. And don't be ashamed of how he's using you. Just let it flow. Just let it flow. Amen.
Yes. Yes, that's your word.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Hallelujah, bride. Look, we get to partner with heaven for her ministry, for her life, what God is doing in her life. So let's all come together and lock arms in the spirit and pray for her. Lord, we do, the bride across the world. We
thank
come
you,
together
Jesus.
In agreement, Lord, for Katrina Loco. Lord, we thank you so much of the example to the body of Christ, Lord, of who she is. She started out in a small town, which sometimes can have stigmas and can have small-time thinking. And can try to limit your people, Lord. But somehow you brought this woman out. You released her into her destiny, God, into greatness, Lord, to impact thousands, millions of people, Lord. We thank you and give you praise, God, because only you can do this. And we honor her today, Lord. We hold up our arms today before the throne, Lord, asking you to just rush her with the rivers of living water, just refreshing upon her, Lord. I know how the media mountain can get sometimes, Lord. So I
yes,
pray a refreshing
Jesus.
Upon her, Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus over her. And, Lord, I partner with heaven today, Lord, for favor. Lord, I pray that you give her favor in Dallas and all of Texas. Give her favor, Lord. Give her favor with ministries, favor with ministers, favor with buildings, favor with the government, Lord, favor with grants for productions. Have people donate things to her, Lord. Donate equipment to her, Lord. Give her everything she needs. If she's wanting a studio, a building, whatever, Lord, grant that unto her. We're in agreement, Lord. Whatever this vision is that you have given this woman, we partner with heaven saying, let it go, let it so be so. In Jesus' name, we decree and declare all of the financial provision she's going to need for this vision, the tools and the strategies, Lord. We ask you, God, to give her intercessors to help her birth all of this in, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you give her people that will help her administrate, people that are technical, people that can do websites, people that can help her with productions, people that will help her to brainstorm, very creative people, Lord. Let her be the best and operate in a spirit of excellence of what she does, Lord. And that requires all that she needs. So, Lord, grant it unto her. We are in the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we have all of the provision that we need there. So we call that in, pulling it out of that warehouse, bringing it down from heaven and into her hands. And, Lord, all of the things that she has been asking you to help her to fulfill this mission, grant it unto her, Lord. We need her to be successful, Lord. We need the kingdom of God to be successful for the harvest. You have a certain harvest for her to reach, and we're partnering with her, Lord. And, Lord, as a woman, I ask, Lord, that you give her the small little things that she likes. If she likes certain birds, Lord, just send her the birds. Send her these little gifts, flowers, whatever it is, Lord. I ask you bless her, Lord. And, Lord, I just thank you for her being on this broadcast today, Lord. And the bride across the world, we are all in agreement that she would be blessed, that her ministry would be blessed, her vision would be blessed, and that she would fulfill it in the army of the living God to take the harvest in the few moments that we have on this earth, Lord. And, God, I pray an increase into her, an increase of the downloads from heaven and understanding revelation of who you are, understanding creative ways to take the media mountain, Lord, just ways to do it in her mind, that she would actually receive blueprints on how to set up stages, how to do things, Lord, and that her ears would hear, her eyes would see. And we thank you and give you praise. And, Lord, all of the things that the enemy has stolen from her over her years of abuse and struggle, I pray, Lord, they all come back, that she be restored of what the canker worm has stolen from her. And, Lord, for her children, Lord, I pray, God, that all the gates into their spiritual life be shut in Jesus' name through the trauma that those children experienced when they was children. I don't know your story, but I'm just saying that all of the gates would be shut, that they would be successful without the past holding them back, without any limitations and without any hindrances of expectations of family members or anything like that, or influences from other people that do not have big visions and big thinking towards, you know, the big picture as the whole. So, Lord, we speak into our children blessings and giving them the understanding of their destiny and their purpose and their calling, and that they would actually partner with her and be one big ministry, the family coming together, Lord, whatever your will is, Lord. But we thank you and give you praise today, Lord, for her life and making her such a strong, beautiful woman. That's just shining to the world right now, Lord. We thank you, too, for favor with other ministers, Lord. And, Lord, I just want to thank you for putting me and her together. And we lay both of our ministries down, Lord, right now, in front of the cross, Lord, asking you, Lord, how you want to partner this. We know that this is divine purpose, divine will. Maybe it's some big nationwide production or something. I don't know. But, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, you're planning in the future. God, you're so glorious. You're so worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, sister,
amen.
I would love it since we're taking the same mountain, if you would bless my ministry, please. And we've got that national march in D.C. September 9th. If you would pray for that, I would appreciate it, ma'am. And then pray for the bride, whatever the Holy Spirit gives you.
Yes. Well, Father, I thank you for
for Miss June, Lord, and I thank you for the ministry that you've called her to as well, God. I thank you for everything
yes.
that she sets her hand to do, God. Every time she turns on a camera, God, every time she is standing before the media herself, God, and every time she's standing doing interviews, God, that you will bless her and that the cameras would be on her, not because she's trying to be seen, but because your word is trying to be put out into the atmosphere, God. Father, I thank you for blessing her with everything that she needs, all the tools and equipment, Lord. And I thank you for sending the stories and the content, God. And I thank you for traveling mercies everywhere she goes. She's traveled all over the United States. Lord, I thank you for the vehicles that she needs to haul that equipment, Lord. Just give it to her, God. Give it to her. I'm asking you to give it to her, God, everything that she needs. I'm thanking that you're blessing her family, God, and those around her, God. And I thank you that she, Lord, is one that will hold on to the horns of the altar and will not let them go, Lord, until you tell her to. Lord, I thank you that she's been patient. I thank you that she's been willing, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that you have held her at times when she thought that everybody else has forsaken her, Lord, but you are holding her. I thank you that she is highly anointed, highly favored, highly called, Lord. I thank you that everything that she touches get delivered in Jesus' name, Lord. And I thank you every chain that she speaks to be broken over and off the life of people right now in Jesus' name. And I just thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding her, waking her up in the midnight hours when she needs to be woken up, sending her to stories and other places, Lord, that she needs to get there. And God, you know me, if you need to translate her there, God, do it. Do it. Do it. All for the glory of God. And I just thank you and I praise you for doing everything that needs to be done, Lord. Father, I lift up those that are coming beside her, God, her team that will not be shaken, Lord, that will not be moved by anything. I thank you. All she has to do is just delegate what you've told her to do, Lord, the delegated God, right now in Jesus' name, I just thank you. Father, I do pray for your body. I pray for your beautiful bride who is arrayed in so many colors, God, who is beautiful. Father, I call her forth right now in the name of Jesus. I declare that she understands and walk in her identity. Father, I call your bride blessed, God. I call your bride healed, Lord. I call her delivered right now in the Jesus' name. I call your bride to walk into unity and come into an alignment with everything that you have told your bride to do. I thank you that your bride will understand the love that you have for her, God, and receive that love, God, like never before, Lord. I thank you that your bride will lay down for you, Lord, and let you impregnate her with more ideas and more plans and more things that you have birthed, Lord, that you have birthed, Lord, not our plans, but yours, oh God. I thank you that your bride, when she walks into a room, God, or everywhere she goes, that people will be fixated on your bride because the fruit is ripe. The fruit is sweet. The fruit is truth, Lord, and people want that. I thank you that your bride lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. I thank you that your bride will speak to demons and cast them out, God, and they will go. Father, I thank you that your bride, Lord, is such a beautiful and elegant and graceful and merciful woman, Lord, that she will draw all men unto you, God, that when they look at her, they're looking at you. And, Father, I thank you that when you look at your bride, you see pure beauty. You see true elegance, God. I thank you that you have adorned your bride in such a way that only you can understand and only you can really reverence your bride in such a way. Father, and I thank you for such a reverence for you, the husband, to be released to you from the bride, God, that we will understand, Lord, everything that you're trying to get us to do because you love us, not because you want to harm us. Lord, I thank you for the purpose of the bride, and I thank you for truth just running out of us like never before. I thank you for love, Lord, unspeakable joy, God. I thank you for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, revelation, and discernment for your bride, God, that she will not be fooled, that she will not be tricked, Lord, and that she will awaken and she will be sober,
yes,
God.
Lord.
That she will walk in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, God, right now, and that she will walk in the authority that you have called her. When your bride speaks, God, she is speaking from a place of authority, God. And I thank you for removing the wounds and the brokenness and the hurts right now. Father, remove the shame, remove the errors, remove the falseness, Lord, and pull back the veil of your bride so that the glory of God could shine on those around the bride. We give it all to you, God. We give it all to you, Lord. We give it all to you. We just bless the times that we're going to have in September and October in D.C., Lord. We just thank you for that. Father, we bless our president. We bless all the cabinet members, the senators, the mayors, the governors, city council members. Lord, you told us to pray for them. It is not our job to figure out what's going on. It's our job to pray for them and back what you told us to do for them, Lord. So, Father, I thank you for raising up a team that will understand you and not looking at what they see, Lord. I thank you that the bride will not be moved by what she sees, but she will hear and heed and follow the voice of her husband. I thank you, Lord, for such a time as this. This is an exciting time. This is an exciting moment. And let us not miss an opportunity to be with you or to understand you because our eyes are closed, Lord. So we declare freedom. We declare sight right now. I command everything inside the bride to come alive and live for her husband right now in Jesus' name. I declare her to see more than she's ever seen right now. And I'm asking you as individuals who make up the body of Christ to be awakened and to be used, and to love one another the way we've been commanded. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow,
thank
sister,
you, Lord
I
Jesus.
Yes. You got me fired up over here.
Thank you, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Let there be a revival of truth in our nation,
yes,
Lord.
Jesus.
And,
yes.
Hey, I want to pray about this happening right, what's going on in D.C. in the fall, because in September,
yes,
is our march. We're prophetically proclaiming it's a Christian nation. And then you have the Awaken the Dawn coming in October that is going to worship God in the presence, giving him place in our nation. It all flows together during all the feasts and all the trumpets that will be blown during that time. So, Lord, we come together in agreement over what you are going to do in Washington, D.C., Lord, this fall.
Yes, Jesus.
Day, Lord. We just know, God,
yes,
is a prophetic.
Jesus.
Huh? Thank you for what you are shifting and doing in our nation, Lord. And we pray for the bride, Lord, that she will be lined up ready to receive, that she will be,
yes,
in the perfect alignment, ready to receive what you have for her when it hits, Lord. I pray that she will not miss it, that she will be awake. And I'm talking bride as a whole, not a woman, but a bride,
yes,
as a whole. That they would, the church, that they would be in position to receive the anointing,
yes,
that is coming, the fire of God that is coming to our nation in Jesus' mighty name. And, Lord, I pray for me and her and other ministers that are taking,
yes,
the media,
Jesus,
mountain in our nation,
yes,
that we will preach and give out the truth, that we will be media dedicated to truth. That we will not allow the false movement, you know, the false to move in, but that we would be bringing truth through what you have given us, Lord, that will benefit,
yes,
our nation,
Jesus,
and will benefit our people, Lord. It is an honor, Lord, to serve you in the media. There's a lot of ministers that do not understand,
yes,
people,
yes,
in
Jesus,
media. They don't understand the mountain that we're trying to take for the glory of the Lord.
Yes.
But, Lord, you do, Lord. You understand what we're facing. We know our battle's not with flesh and blood. We know it's with the principalities and powers of the air. We are taking the air. We are taking the words,
yes,
of the living God, proclaiming them out in the air. We understand the media mountain and the power thereof, Lord. So all of the ministers, Lord, that are listening to this broadcast, bless them. Lord, if you have called into the media mountain, Lord, bless them. Give them all that they need, technology, equipment, money, to take that mountain. It takes all of us in this kingdom. There is no I in team. We're all working together, Lord, for the glory of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Sister, it was an honor to have you on this broadcast today. Bless you, sister, and everyone.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, God bless you.
Thank you.
Now, Bride, God bless y'all, and thank you so much for being on the broadcast with us today. And y'all have a blessed day. Bye-bye, sister. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right.